Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Good morning, church. You are in a moment right now, and this moment matters. Hey, last week we started, and this week I've been so excited. I started my fast this week, and I hope you did too, and I hope you chose something that is most desirable to you to let go of for this time being, because that's what this is about, is letting go of what's most desirable to you so that you can become most desirable to God, right? And that's what our goal is. We want to be desirable to God. He made us. He values us. That's what this series is about. That's what this year is going to be about for us, that every moment matters, so matter in the moment, that you matter. Today's emphasis is about on how God feels about you, that you matter to God, that you count to God. But here's what I want to do. I'm going to say every moment matters, so, and you'll repeat. Very good. We got a couple of you that were following along. There's some of you who are like still like, the video started over twice. What happened? What happened? So here we go. Every moment matters, so. Every moment matters, so. Every moment matters, so you better. That's right. Every moment matters, so matter in the moment. That's what the theme, the vision, the focus of this year is going to be for The Fountain. That we, those who would commit to joining us in what God's called us to do here at The Fountain, will understand, and not just understand, but walk in the realization that every moment matters to God. So what am I going to do about it? Because I matter to God, I'm going to matter in every moment that He gives me to breathe, that He gives me to act, that He gives me to think, that He gives me to emote, that He gives me to serve. I'm going to make every moment that He's allowed me on this earth, because we just got done singing, it's our breath, and it's this breath inside of us belongs to God. It's His breath inside of us. This is His life. If we've committed, we belong to Him. We are no longer owners. We're managers of this life. We are stewards of this life. So if God thinks it matters, then we should think it matters, and therefore our life, what is it there for? As Pastor Aaron said just a couple weeks ago, our life is here to matter, and so we want to make sure that we do that. The scripture that oversees this series is out of Philippians 1:21, but before you put that up there, Grace, and I want you to put these words up there to this chorus of the song that that we just got done singing. It's put those chords up. I am chosen. Here, look at this. Look at these words. These words, you just sang these words right now. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. What's that next one? You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. That first one said, I am chosen, not forsaken. You are chosen by God. The God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Prince of peace, the wonderful counselor chose you to be who you are. You are valuable, and God says your life matters. Your life matters, and He's got the best plan for our lives. Now look at this scripture, Philippians 1:21. Paul said this, and Paul was saying it about himself. You know, he had that big transformation in his life going, and then his name changed from Saul to Paul. But not only his name changed, his life changed. He did a 180. He turned around. He knew God. He knew about God. He kept the laws, but he didn't know Jesus. And when he came to know Jesus, his life changed. As with anybody who comes to know Jesus, face to face, your life changes for the better. And then Paul decided, said, for to me to live is Christ. My life, for to me, my life is going to about be representing Jesus Christ because of what He did for me. He picked me up out of this facade of my life that I was headed in, and I thought I was for God, but I wasn't for God until Jesus showed me. And so as for me, to live is Christ, and to die, it's all the better because I get to see Him face to face. So here's what I want you to do. Because your name, this isn't just for Paul. You can claim this today. You can claim this. And if you claim this, just know that this is a big responsibility. But God says you can do it. God has expectation on our life. And we're going to talk about that next week. I got a little bit to talk about that next week. But for this week, you got to know that for you, you have the ability. God says you have the ability to live as Christ lived in this world. To live as Christ. So here's what I want you to do. I'm going to say Philippians 1:21, and I want you to say with me, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Say it one more time. Philippians 1:21. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. The vision, the goal, the focus, the motto of your life, the theme, the life phrase. You know, some people have these life phrases that they live by. Why can't it be that? Why can't it be what Paul thought it was? To live is Christ, to die is gain. Or in short, for our motto for the year, why not say, every moment matters. And so therefore, I'm going to matter in the moment. Because our days are made up of moments, aren't they? They're made up of seconds, just moment from moment to moment, and every moment matters and rings in heaven, depending on how we live it. Every moment has to count since God made the decision to become one of us. And Jesus' call for us to follow him is not an insensitive plea to abandon that which is most important to us, or to those who matter to us, or to that which makes a difference for us. Jesus' call to let go of our life and let him be in control is a promise that God becoming human means that moments matter, that we matter to him. You see, time makes a difference, and that even seconds matter to God. Why? Not for the sake of our service alone, but for the sake of your being in the kingdom that God imagines. We pray, Lord, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, right? But guess who facilitates that? We do. By the way we talk, by the way that we act, by the way that we embrace life, by the way that we respond to trial and to tribulation and to trouble. God's kingdom can be revealed here through us. God values you because it's through you that God can show everyone else that they matter too. You see, because it's my belief that you weren't created, that we weren't created just for us. We're created to worship God, to be in relationship with God, but our purpose doesn't innately have to do with us. Because when we give our life to the Lord, we're not ours anymore. We become his, so we're part of God's plan to redeem the world back to him. So therefore, in that, you are not your own. And your primary purpose doesn't have really a whole lot to do with you. Because you're already there. You've already said, yes, Lord. But there's so many people that haven't said, yes, Lord. And so your purpose in living every moment, because every moment matters, is to live your life so others may see Jesus reflected in you and say, yes, Lord, as well. Therefore, his kingdom becomes revealed in the earth. Isaiah 41:13 says, for I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says, you do not fear, I will help you. Anybody ever had that when you were a little kid? You say, Mom, hold my hand. And now, some of you moms, you kind of wish your kids were little again, right? So that they would grab your hand, but they always wanted to get away. No, you stay right here. You stay right behind that. Anybody ever use those things where you put around your kid's arm those coils and have the rope with them so they don't get away? It's an extension of our hand, I guess. I don't know. But you see, God says here that he takes hold of our right hand and says, you don't fear. I will help you. I will help you. I am right here. Don't worry about it. I got your hand. I got you. I'm right here. I find so much comfort knowing that God will always be there to help me when I need his help. What a blessing it is that I can pray to him anytime and anywhere with the absolute assurance that he listens to my prayers. Sometimes he doesn't answer the way that I'm hoping for, but he always answers my prayers in the way, now listen, in the way that will be in my best interest from his eternal perspective. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. How amazing is it to think that we are literally created in the image of the Creator, of God the Father, of God Almighty. Just as fathers and mothers are overwhelmed with love as they look at their own children, God is filled with divine and perfect love as he looks at each of us. He says, you are my child. Now, we look at our children and say, no, you shouldn't be doing that. No, I taught you better than that. Me and Kiela were just talking about that, right? We were just talking about that. And we have that with our kids. It's like, I taught you better than that. Come on now. But you know what? You still love your kids. You still look at your kids like, man, God gave me you, and you are a blessing. Well, not at this moment you're a blessing, but you are a blessing in my life most of the time when you were sleeping. And maybe that's what God thinks about us. Oh, he's sleeping. Whew, thanks. It's been a chore today. God's up there going, come on. Whew, I'm so glad they're asleep now. It was a hard day. But, you know, there's comfort in knowing that our all-powerful Heavenly Father looks over us the way that we as parents have looked over our children and have desires for them and have dreams for them and a plan for them. But you know what? Just like we have our children, they have to find their own way and they have to make those decisions. God says we do too as his children. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord your God is with you. The mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. Hear that? He takes great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Have you ever felt like, God, when is this season going to end? I am tired of the oppression. I am tired of the bearing down. I am tired of the work and the anxiety and the hardness of life. God. And sometimes we look and say, oh, that was me that did that. I'm the one that caused that in my life. But because we do, and there's consequences to our decisions, right? The scripture says he'll take delight in you. His love will no longer rebuke you. It will be a joy. It will be a relationship that like just flows. But will rejoice over you with singing. His love rejoices over us with singing. Psalm 8 says, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You ever think about that? Look at the stars, like the vastness, the greatness, the universe, like it's mind-boggling. It blows me away. And this, the psalmist is saying here, what is man that you are mindful of them after you've done all this? And then the writer of Ecclesiastes phrased the question more cynically. He says, does anything matter? And you know the answer to that as well as I do. Yes, it matters. It matters to God. What we do matters to God. The decisions we make matter to God. What's going on in our hearts that nobody else sees? What's going on in our minds that nobody else sees matters to God. Our integrity matters to God. There's a poem I came across. It says, love brought him down from glory. Love made him come from the sky. Love in his heart for the sinner led him to suffer and die. That's how much love, that's how much you and I matter to God. One can get pretty protective over something they put their heart and soul into. When things matter to us, we put them above all else, making them the forefront of our lives. Anybody got any material possessions you've done that with in your life? Raise your hand. I have. We're afraid to raise our hand on those things. Because, whoa, I can't admit that I put something before God. We all do. There are idols in our lives. We need to take evaluation of our life right now. Is there something, an idol, is something that comes between you and God? If it's hindering your time with God, if it's hindering what God wants to do in your life, it could be potentially an idol in your life. This is how God is with each one of us. His love is boundless, and the ways he demonstrates his love are powerful. All right, I'm going to ask you a question. It's okay for you to admit this, all right? Don't be afraid. Say right now, I'm not going to be afraid. Okay. How many of you have tattoos? All right. Okay. A few of you. Okay. That's all right. How many of you have tattoos that you wish you didn't have? Oh, well, some of you, maybe. You don't want to admit that one, huh? They might ask me what it is. How many of you have had tattoos that have a deeper meaning to you? That's why you have them. Many of you. Okay. I have no desire, none, zero, zip, to have anything put on my body like that. And that's okay, but I can understand and appreciate why some people have the tattoos they have. There are some tattoos I'm going, what were they thinking? It's like, that ain't going to look good later on in life, you know? My son Jesse has some tattoos. He started that when he turned 18 and was in college, and I fear it was his mother's influence. She has some pretty tattoos. Charla does. But Jesse's got these tattoos, and I told him, one thing I told him, I said, buddy, it's up to you. I mean, I don't have anything against him, but here's one thing I do request, is that whatever you put on your body, it has a meaning to you. It's not just something because you saw somebody do it. And so his first tattoo, I think, was a scripture under his arm that meant something to him by the Lord. It was that scripture right there, what she said. It was that scripture right there that's on my son's arm. That was his first tattoo. And then he said, Dad, I think I want to do a sleeve. I'm going, yeah, your shirt's got sleeves. That's good. Come on. And he said, no, I want to put something all the way up my arm. And I'm going, what? I said, buddy, as long as it means something to you. And so everything, and he's got like now, I don't know, how many does he have? 8 or 9 tattoos right now. Some of them are big, some of them are small, but they mean something to him. So, and he always tells me, he says, Dad, I'm going to get this, and I just want to tell you what it means. I said, okay, good. I'm glad to know that. But, you know, the girl that he's dating, Kara, we love her a lot, and we hope he doesn't mess it up. And if you're listening to this, Jesse, we just want you to know we don't want you to mess this up. We love Kara. But Kara and he went together and got a tattoo together. You know, maybe you've done that with your spouse or something like Charla. I wouldn't do that with Charla because I don't do tattoos. So, but Jesse and Kara went, and it was so meaningful, the one that she got. She got a tattoo. She lost her sister years ago. And so she got, Kara got on her, I think it was on her arm. Is that what it was? She got her sister's name in Morse code. She had her sister's name on her because her sister meant something to her. She loved her sister, and she wanted that to honor her sister. Church, did you know that God writes our names on his palms? Isaiah 49 says, see, I have engraved. I didn't just write it in pen. It's not in pencil. You can't erase it. It's not going to come off anytime soon. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Why would he do that if you didn't mean something to him? Why would he do that if he didn't love you deeper than anything he's ever created? Imagine an inscription on God's hand with your name there. Who did the engraving? It wasn't us. It was the Lord. The Lord did the engraving. There's something permanent about that and beautiful too. Something that says you matter to me and I love you and I'm never going to let you go. And I've already set it in motion that there's nothing ever I've ever created or that's ever been created that will stand in the way of my love for you. Because you matter to God, everything in your life also matters to him. Is he disappointed sometimes? Absolutely. One time in life, he said, I regret making life. And guess what he did? He destroyed it. But he says, this is my promise, that I will never do that again. I love you, and I'm going to go to the ends of the earth to show you that I love you. God cares about all the things that we do. He wishes to hear about them, wants to be there for you in every aspect of your life. He wants you to know that you are important to him and that you are loved by him. Do you truly believe that, though? Do you know that God cares about your thoughts and your worries, your choices and your actions, that God cares about your life? He knows the numbers of the hairs on your head. And for some of us, that's easier for him to count, I know. But he has the numbers of hairs on your head counted. He knows your dreams, your aspirations you have for life. He believes in you. He wants the best for you. He has chosen you for greatness because you matter to him. Matthew 10 says this, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside the Father's care. And even the very hairs on your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. Don't doubt. You are worth more than many sparrows. You are valued by the Creator, your Father. Your life matters right now. God's plan for your life is taking place today, not someday, but right now. Are you going to get on board with it? Is it matter enough to you? Because it matters to God. He wants your life to matter and know that it matters to him, but you've got to walk in that. Does it matter to you right now? Maybe Jesus recognizes our tendency to put off the moments in time that might actually make a difference in what we say about him. Maybe Jesus sees that we come with ready excuses to defer our proclamation because we think we need to be in a better place or a better time or a time when the stars align so as to make our experience of the gospel the perfection it was meant to be. Maybe Jesus simply says, stop making excuses and start imagining experiences that invite, let's see what happens. Instead of, I need all my stuff figured out before I get on board with the Lord. You've made those excuses. I've made those excuses. And there are people in our lives that are making those excuses. Or this, have you ever, anybody ever say to you, or maybe you said this before you came to know the Lord, you know what, there's plenty of time for me to accept the Lord. I'm young. I've got my whole life ahead of me. So I want to do this for a while, and then I'll go do what the Lord wants me to do. The thing that we forget that Scripture also says, these moments are fleeting. That our life is like a mist or a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. It's here and then it's gone. I was talking with a Trace Diaz brother yesterday. I was at a training. And he's my head prayer. I'm a prayer child. So I get to pray over people for this upcoming weekend. And I'm so glad. I got the prayer with my brother John O'Connor because he's delivering a talk. And man, it was just so powerful to be able to do that. But the head of our section, he lost his wife 3 years ago. A little bit younger than me. Car accident. Life is here and life is gone. Should be an urgency within us as part of this every moment matters for us to matter in the moment. To take the opportunity that, Lord, that there was a person there, they just kind of opened up to me. It's like, they're struggling, but, you know, I heard their story, but I don't know what to do about it. Yeah, you do. Listen, be compassionate, be empathetic, sympathetic. It may not resonate with you. Maybe it hadn't happened to you, but maybe it had. It's an opportunity to have a gospel conversation. It's like, look, I was in the same situation. I felt the same way. Maybe that's why God had that divine appointment for you and say, but you know what? This is what Jesus did for me. And he can do it for you too. What a transition. That's what our purpose is right there. In everyday life, you don't have to go take some class. You don't have to have all your stuff together to be able to do that. We all have a messy life. All of us have stuff. And we need to obey the Lord. One of the Tres Dias guys that was speaking, I can't remember if it was the rector or the assistant rector. I couldn't remember who said it, but I was writing things left and right in my little journal thing. But he said in his talk, he said, God is a God who cares about our past. He's a God that cares about our future, but he is also a God of right now. In this very moment, he's a God of this very moment in time right now. So what are you doing with this time? Anybody sleeping? What are you doing? And it's not even about that. It's about what are you getting from this? What is God speaking to your heart? What is the Holy Spirit telling you right now in this moment that he wants from you? The Apostle Paul once said in 2 Corinthians 6:2, in the time of my favor, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Not when you get all your stuff together. Not when they get all their stuff together. Now is the day of salvation. If God's given an opportunity, the Holy Spirit's already working. God is already working. We just got to open our eyes to see where he's working and join him. Scripture tells us that our lives are like a vapor, it's a mist, it's gone. Isn't it great that God will forgive us also immediately? He doesn't say, oh, wait, I'm going to wait till you get all your stuff together, and then I'll forgive you. I know I'm going to wait until you get done with that party over there, and then I know that you need forgiveness, so I'll wait. No, I'm going to wait for till next year. Let's get a year under our belt, and then I'll forgive you of all your sins. No. We ought to be grateful because God has forgiven us at the moment we ask forgiveness. He hasn't turned his back on us. He has placed our sin on Jesus Christ, and Jesus has taken our sin away on the cross. God doesn't say to us, maybe someday I'll forgive you. No, God says, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. God forgives today. God is working out an awesome plan for your life today. And now that you have been forgiven, remember that your life matters today. This very moment matters. So it should cause us to think that if every moment matters, then, oh, I should not do that because that would displease God. Someday I'll stay away from people who cause me to sin. Why not today? Because our life matters today. Glorify God with our effort, with our thoughts, with our words, with our actions, and trust God that he will bless you and give you everything you need for the journey. It seems that if you've ever had a question about how God feels about you, then one could read a few stories in the scripture, one after the other, that seem to have the same message. And you could gather from them, after you read all of them, that God really does think that people count, that people matter, that you matter. And we find these stories in the book of Luke chapter 15. And these scriptures aren't going to be up there, but let me recap a little bit of these stories, one right after the other. You've heard of the lost sheep story in the Bible. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave? That's right. He'll leave the 99. He leaves the 99. They got it. They're good. They've got a group here. They can protect each other right now. But I'm going to leave you for a minute because this sheep of mine is lost. This sheep of mine has strayed away. This sheep of mine has gotten influenced by these other people over here. And they've drawn him away. And he's forgotten that I love him and that I care about him and that I have all he needs. I've got the brook of running water. It's clean and purified. I've got the grassy fields that I can take him to. My sheep, he's forgotten or she's forgotten, and I need to go get her or him, and I need to remind them that they are mine. And guess how he does that? Point to yourself. Put your finger right here. He does that through us. We leave the 99 to go get. Everybody in here knows somebody who has been disgruntled or been disillusioned or has been hurt by the church, maybe. We're a mess. Come on. There's no perfect church. People often say, well, if the church had, or they're looking for the perfect church, but the church is full of imperfect people. There is no perfect church. But guess what? We serve a perfect God, but we're perfect together. We're perfect together because he's given us a vision and a direction, and we do it together. Lost sheep. And here's what happens. When he has found it, He will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call his friends and neighbors, saying, all the other shepherds, come on, I found my sheep. Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, church, there's more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. It's not that you're not important, but God came for the lost. He came to get those so that his kingdom would be complete. Aaron and I had a discussion this past week. I'll drop by his office and bug him every once in a while. And we got to talking about our youth ministry days. His aren't so far away. Mine are a little further away. We talked about students that were so on fire for the Lord. And now when we look at their lives, we see them on Facebook or something, they're so far from the Lord. They're not connected to a church. And it hurts our hearts that that happens. Where was the miss? What was it that caused them? And I go back and I say, Lord, did I oversell the gospel? In other words, you know, sometimes we can make the gospel sound so pleasing, so great that the Christian life is so awesome that when people have their first trial and tribulation and God doesn't come and rescue them right away or in the way that they think, they get disillusioned. It's that gospel, what was it, Aaron, you said, fell on the rocky ground. So the seed that fell, and then the devil came and snatched it away. But you see, the shepherd said that sheep counted. Just one. Oh, he could have said, well, it's just one sheep. I got 99 others. He didn't say that. He said, that sheep matters. My fold isn't complete because that sheep matters. I got to have that sheep here as well. And that sheep needs to know that they're important to me. And I'm going to do that by going to get them. He searches all night, finds the sheep, brings it back, and throws a party to celebrate. And then right after that, there's a coin, right? There's a story of the coin. A woman has 10 silver coins. She loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call her friends and neighbors and say, rejoice with me because I found my coin. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when one sinner repents. I was loaning my trailer to a friend of mine this past week, and I pulled it out for him, and there's a penny laying in the bed of the trailer. I left it there. It's a penny. This story says that coin mattered. In the grand scheme, she didn't say, oh, it's just a coin. I've got 9 others. It doesn't matter. No, she found her coin. She swept the house. She cleaned her whole house. How many of you willing to do that? How many of you willing to go and clean your whole house to find what you need to find? Depends on what it is, right? Mm-hmm. Well, see, this mattered to her. You matter to God. Lost sinner matters to God. And he'll go to the ends of the earth to find his lost child. But the way that he does that, he does it through you and me. You and me, we have to go to the ends of the earth. We are God's arms reaching. We are God's hands serving. We are God's feet going. We are God's mouth speaking. It's us. That's our purpose, right? And then you know the other story, the story of the lost son. That's the one we talk about most of the time. Son got disillusioned. He said, I want what's mine. I don't need to be around this farm, you know, these pigs and stuff. I got a different life I want to do. Give me my inheritance. I'm going to go. You know the story. He went away. He squandered it. Living with the pigs now, eating what the pigs ate. Revelation. You know, my servants eat better than, my dad's servants eat better than I do right now. Maybe I'll just go home and ask him. I'll just repent and I'll say, I'm not worthy to be your son anymore, but can I work the farm? Maybe at least that? That ain't happening. You know the story. The story says the father was looking in that direction where his son left. Story says that he ran to his son when he saw him. You know, that'd be a great picture for someone who has left, and God uses us to help bring them back, and they become so on fire for the Lord, and they're rejoicing, and they're thanking God. Oh, what a picture that would be. But the lost son mattered. to the Father. And he didn't want him to be a servant. He didn't want to be one of his slaves. He said, no, you're my son. Never that. Never that. You're my son. You were lost and now you're found. And we're going to party. We're going to rejoice. Did you notice the common denominator? There was a party. When the lost item was found, God throws a party. And he's merciful. John 10 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Every moment of your life matters. You matter to God. So matter in the moment. I've done a lot of funerals in my life. And this is kind of a weird thing to say, but I believe God's given me a gift. That's one of my gifts, is to walk with people through that and the eulogy and those kinds of things. It's just in my heart to do that, and I believe that's a gift from God. So a lot of times when I do a eulogy or a message for a funeral, I'll use this scripture, and I want you to hear it. In Isaiah 43, it says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One Israel. Listen, your Savior. And that one line in there at the beginning, it just blows me away. Every time I read it, it never gets old. I have called you by name, you are mine. We have to remember that when we lose people in our lives from this place, it does hurt sometimes. But there's got to be a rejoicing. Especially if they're followers, if they trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior, there's a rejoicing. And there's got to be some kind of thing in us that says, wow, I'm glad they don't have to live through that. They're in heaven now. They're with the Lord. There's no pain. There's no sorrow. There's no weeping. There's joy and there's worship and there's contentment. And there's love all around. And I'm just so glad that they don't have. I miss them, but you know what? We're all going to be there someday if we trust the Lord, and I'll see them again. I know it's hard, though, that we miss them. But let me give you an ultimate proof here. And then I want you to hear a song. I'm going to give you the ultimate proof that you matter to God. God's ultimate gesture to prove just how much we matter, how much we count, comes to us first through a baby. Then in a 33-year life lived, free from sin and showing mankind God's character, his love, his care in the flesh, and ultimately dying in our place when he stretched out his arms and he gave his life in our place. And that's Jesus. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't have to get our junk together. We didn't have to. He came in spite of the junk. He came in spite of it. That's why he came, because we're in a mess. And he came to clean up the mess. But it's our choice to step out of the mess. Romans 8:31-35. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. No one. Christ Jesus, who died, who had the right to condemn, I might add, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Jump down to 37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything in all creation, anything that's ever been created will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He proved it. He showed it. There should be no doubt about it. And because if you live that way, that there's no doubt about it, then you that should be reflected in every moment of your life. Will you fail? Yes. Will you be imperfect? Yes. But thank the Lord we have each other to encourage each other and build each other up and hold each other accountable. That's what we're here for. So accept it and receive it and walk in it. I've got some names on sheets of paper here, and I'm about to have you listen to a song, and then we're going to go into communion. Kensington Creek Manor, families on Old Fountain Road, Old Fountain Mill, Silverwood Estates, Rabbit Hill Park, Old Fountain Academy, families on Old Peachtree Road, Iglesia Emmanuel, Amherst, Grace Baptist Church, The Hathaway, Nichols Landing, Appalachian Crossing, Freeman's Mill Elementary School, Ivy Chase, the fire station number 27 just up the road, Evergreen, Charleston Park, Charleston Walk, Charleston Place, Brighton Estates, Fountain Blue, Fountain Royale, Turtle Creek, Chateau Royale, Castle Royale, Fountain Lake, Old Fountain Glen, Fountain Cove. Those are the neighborhoods and organizations surrounding our church. There's people in those places that don't know the Lord. Every moment matters. 2019, we have to make an impact in all of these places. God has called us to that. And whatever we have, resources, people, if you're here, you got to get on board. We're all in this together, and we're all going the same direction. I want you to hear a song right now. It's one of my favorite songs at Third Day. Third Day played their last concert this last summer in June at the Fox Theater as a group. But when they started out, and off their I usually like the first album is my favorite album of any group that I like. It's usually that album is what drew me to them, and it's kind of my favorite, and it's always got some favorite songs. But there's a song on this album, one of their first albums, called Love Song. And as we go into communion, and this is going to be our communion prep, to prep your heart, I just want you to listen to this song. Just close your eyes and listen to the words, and then we'll take communion.
Well, I've heard it said that a man would climb a mountain just to be with a woman he loves. How many times has he broken that promise? It has never been done. Well, I'll never climb the highest mountain, but I walk the hill of Calvary and just to be understand the fullness of my love. How I died upon the cross for your sin. And I know that you don't realize how much that I give you. And I promise, well, I would do it all again. And just to be with you, I've done everything. There's no price I did not pay, no. And just to be with you, I gave everything. Yes, I gave my life.
Let's pray. Father God, we love you. Thank you for loving us so much, for making us matter so much, God. May we make the commitment that every moment of our life, because you, God, make us matter, that we will matter to somebody else, God. Thank you so much. So I ask your blessing upon everybody here now, and everybody said together, in the name of Jesus, amen. We'll see y'all later.